Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. Now, I said it that way because I actually received an email, I did, that said, Steve, I listen to you every week, but you say, good morning, and you're so chipper. How can you be so chipper? So I'm trying to be subdued. So let me try it again. Good morning, everybody. Is that better? I don't know. But I'm excited. I am excited because later in the program, we'll be talking with Mr. Dog Show himself. David Fry will be here talking about the National Dog Show presented by Purina on Thanksgiving Day. But right now, with some bad news, in a sense, Tracy Elliott, the president and CEO of the Anti-Cruelty Society of Chicago, Chicago's oldest, I think it's safe to say, animal shelter, and certainly one of the most well-known in America. And right now, not only anti-cruelty, but I believe shelters all over the country are experiencing the same. Is that right?
That is correct.
And what are we talking about here? People just not coming in to adopt. Did we get spoiled during the pandemic? Because it seemed everyone was adopting. Or are we seeing numbers really declining from what they should be?
Well, I think we're not for sure. As to the reason, we kind of presume that there were so many people who adopted during the pandemic that what is normally our most heavy adoption period, which is right now, is actually very slow. But we aren't the only shelter. We've got reports from a data analysis of 1,500 shelters across the country that adoption rates are down about 28%. Ours are down about 33% from our normal time this year. And so we think maybe there's a bit of a glut, if you will. There also may be, Steve, some economic anxieties that are causing people to wait. You know, lots of folks we're in a strange time, right? Like a lot of dislocation, people changing jobs, you know, worried about inflation, worried about the economy, worried about the future. So perhaps that's going on as well.
Now, where are you getting these dogs and cats, kittens and puppies from in the first place?
Well, many of them are coming right from our own community, people who need to surrender for various reasons. And we believe, you know, that perhaps a bit of this is, you know, the beginning of the moratorium on evictions, at the beginning of the end, I should say, of the moratorium. So perhaps that's causing some additional intake as well, because we do have a lot of big dogs coming in. And then we also continue to work with our partners in the South to bring up young animals and even puppies from very, very small rural shelters who might otherwise be euthanized. So we bring those puppies up here, and we rehabilitate them, make sure they're medically prepared to go out, spay and neuter them, and then put them on the adoption floor. And, Steve, they usually go out in a day or two. And we've had puppies sitting around here for 2 or 3 weeks.
Wow.
So, which is very, very unusual. So it's not just the big dogs that aren't moving, but even the cute puppies that people come in and, you know, wait in line for are not moving right now.
So we talked about what the problem is, but let's talk for just a minute to dispel a myth, I think, and I'll see in 10 seconds if you agree or not, but it's not those pandemic puppies, quote-unquote puppies, pandemic dogs and cats, that were adopted in the height of the pandemic that people are now getting bored of, or they're going back to work and they're returning the dog.
Almost none of that.
Exactly. Okay, that's where I'm going. Yeah, to my knowledge, that's not happening. It is everything we talked about. And also, just housing issues in general, that's true around the country, and I would argue in Chicago,
yes. It's
even more of an issue.
Yes, I would agree with that 100%. That is our number one reason for surrender, is people lose their pet-friendly housing and can't find replacement pet-friendly housing, or their landlord tells them they have to leave if they have an animal, and people have to make the horribly painful decision to give up an animal because, obviously, they need a place to live.
Yeah, and some of this is in part, Tracy, neighborhood-specific. I'm sure there are some of you listening right now who might be in Wrigleyville or Lincoln Park who say that they're building all these, and they are, these mid-rises and high-rises, and they have all these, they're rentals, and they have these pet-friendly amenities, and that's wonderful, but that's not the case everywhere in the city.
That's right. Yes, I've said when I moved to town, you know, I had two dogs. There was absolutely no issue with finding pet-friendly housing in the neighborhoods I was looking at, but there are neighborhoods where that is not the case. And so that's where we're getting most of our surrenders from, are those neighborhoods where pet-friendly housing is a very difficult thing to find.
And also, as I understand it, during the height of the pandemic, people just weren't doing trap, neuter, return, and vaccinate of community cats. And the result is the kitten season was bigger than usual. It's continuing a little later. One of the reasons for that is simply nice weather. And the result is you have more kittens and cats?
We have a lot of cats. And we're a little bit, the pressure has relieved. But, boy, we got a very, very active summer with cats. No question about that.
And some of them have not been adopted yet, who are perfectly wonderful cats.
Wonderful cats. Beautiful cats, yes.
Yeah, it's kind of it was such a wonderful thing that so many people during the pandemic said, now is the time. I'm pulling the trigger. I am going to get a pet. Yeah. But to me, the downside of that is what we are seeing right now.
Right. Right. So, you know, we are also one of the pressure valves that we're looking for, not only to have, of course, folks come in and adopt these animals, but also we're looking for more fosters, because if we can get an animal into a foster home, first of all, a much better place to be than any shelter is in a home, even temporarily. And secondly, that opens up another space here in the shelter for an animal, so we can take more in and rehabilitate them and get them on the adoption floor. So if you can't adopt, but you could welcome a cat or a dog temporarily into your home, we do training as to how to do that. And we take care of all the needs of the animal while you're fostering it. And it's just a fun way to help us and, you know, have a temporary new family member while it gets prepared for a permanent home.
Now, to learn more about how to foster, anticruelty.org?
That's correct. And you can even sign up for foster training on there.
Excellent. And you're located at Grand and LaSalle. That's the main shelter. Right on the corner. Free parking, which is why I love anti-cruelty, among other reasons.
Right.
I mean, how can you not love that? And also, you're at 1101 South Canal Street at PetSmart there, correct?
That's right. We have a full adoption center there with cats and dogs and small animals. And then we have cats at six other PetSmarts around the area as well. Just cats, but you can adopt from those places as well.
Excellent.
So we try to make it as convenient and easy as possible.
All right. Do you need an appointment these days to do that or just come in?
Just come on in.
Come on down.
Not taking appointments anymore. The wait is a little bit longer because we're still following safety protocols, so it may not be as fast as we might like, and so we apologize for that. We hope that by January 1st or so, we can get back to whatever the new normal is going to be, but you can come in and see the animals.
Okay.
At your convenience.
Go in, see those animals. Thank you, Tracy Elliott. Here he is, my friend David Fry. If there's a dog show anywhere, he's probably there broadcasting the dog show, at least if it's on national television. And there is one coming up, the National Dog Show, presented by Purina. It's on Thanksgiving Day, noon, all time zones. No matter where you are on the planet, 12 noon, you can catch this guy and John O'Hurley broadcasting the dog show following the Macy Thanksgiving Day Parade on NBC. It's been a while. It's been 20 years. So when you started, David, I happen to know that you knocked out of the box Jimmy Stewart and It's a Wonderful Life. That's what preceded you on NBC. And you said, Jimmy Stewart, I'm going to kick the bucket, you know, kick him over the hill. Who needs Jimmy Stewart?
That seems sort of un-American. I remember Jimmy Stewart given reading one of his great poems on Johnny Carson one night about his dog Bo.
Yes,
and that brought me to tears. Still does. So I'm sorry that we've taken his place, but we've done it in front of 25 million people most years, including we're on a long streak with that kind of viewership, and it just goes to show how much fun people have watching our show. What is a great family holiday? They're all gathered around, waiting for that turkey to come out, and And in the meantime, they get John O'Hurley and me. And they've done it for 20 years, and we're going to try to do it another 20.
Well, John O'Hurley, you, and a whole lot of dogs, which is really what it's all about. You know, this is the so yes, did better than It's a Wonderful Life, but also currently, even with the fragmented TV market, doing better most years than the Academy Awards, I think, or the Grammy Awards or Tony Awards, you name it, or any special presentation, including the Olympics. As much as we would love to see the Olympics succeed, the dog show does better.
Well, you know, it's that one-time holiday. It's in a specific time slot every year, comes on right after the Macy's parade, so that people are already in front of their television, and it's something that it can appeal to everybody. And it happens with a dog on television too. But when a dog walks into the room, the energy changes. And right now, they're walking into your room through the TV screen, and I think the same thing happens. People start running to the television, say, "Hey, look at that dog! Look at this dog! What's the deal on that poodle haircut?" David, John, tell me what's going on. And I think we do a pretty good job of that and get people excited, get them thinking about their own dog and thinking about responsible ownership and how they can be a better owner and taking care of their own dog.
Well, I want to talk to you about what happens when you pee in a cup. Here's what I'm talking about, David Fry.
Okay.
A study was...
I'm waiting for this one now. This question I've never had before, I'm sure, but go ahead.
With all the times you've been interviewed by all these people, never once has anyone asked you about this. And here's what I'm getting to. A study was done where people watched a movie, a Lassie movie. And before the movie, they were asked to pee in a cup and afterwards, and some hormones were measured as a result of that. And it turns out that even watching a movie makes a difference. People smile, and our good hormones were elevated, and the bad hormones dissipated a bit. So when you're watching TV even, and you're seeing dogs, I doubt that if I knocked on everyone's door, all 33 million or however many people watch you now, and I knocked on all those doors, and I looked, could peek inside their house, I bet I would see smiles on faces.
I'm sure you would. They're going to be upset that you're knocking on the door interrupting John and me.
True.
But you're absolutely right. And that's the whole basis now for therapy dog work. As you well know, as I've heard you talk, I know you're a great fan, a great believer in therapy dog work, but you interact with a dog, you immediately feel better. And then the science through the years now has come to show that yes, you get an increase of the good hormones, you get a decrease of the bad hormones. You smile, and maybe you haven't been smiling for a while. When we visit people in healthcare facilities, they haven't had much to smile about, but the dog is there, and it gets you going. The dog is spontaneous, lives life in the moment, and they go that way for everybody.
Isn't it amazing how these two species sort of help one another? And we saw that, I think, David, through the pandemic.
Absolutely, and I think we're now working our way back with the dogs. We had to stay away for a while with our therapy dog programs. We did some of it remotely. We've been able to get into some facilities now lately with the dogs and start bringing it back. But we do this. We do a great therapy dog symposium, the National Dog Show Therapy Dog Symposium. That's going to be the week after the dog show, where we're talking about getting these dogs back into action, back to work, so to speak. And getting them back out there because people need them. And people need them now. I mean, we've been through a tough year and a half or so. And it's time for us to try to get back to life as we once knew it and get these dogs involved in our everyday life.
Well, and in fact, I would argue that for many people throughout the pandemic, their dog that wasn't a certified therapy dog, just their pet dog, turned out to be a therapy dog for them. But I'm also concerned if some of the stress that we felt at the height of the pandemic, that, you know, dogs do pick up on our emotions, whether the dogs picked up on that and maybe even suffered, quote unquote, not really suffered that much, but suffered a bit as a result.
You're absolutely right. There's no question that goes back and forth. We say in the dog show ring, we say that it goes back and forth up and down the leash. That the dog knows what you're feeling, and when they're living with you, they have a feel for you, and and what you're going through, and they always can find the person in the room that needs the most help. There's no question in my mind that my dog walks into a room sometimes of more people, more than one person, and walks right over to the one that needs the most attention. And it sounds silly to say that, but it really is true. The dogs have a great feel for what goes on in our world, and I don't know how they do it, but thank God they do.
Yeah, I agree with you about that. Now, getting back to the National Dog Show, why is it that those poor Labradors and Golden Retrievers don't seem to win, but Terriers, if I had a bet, not this year's show specifically, but in general, for any major dog show, it's all about the Terriers.
Well, remember what Terriers were bred to do, and this is part of the lessons that we try to share with you every year at the dog shows. We talk about these breeds. Terriers were bred to look for trouble. They're bred to look for rats and vermin and mice and protect their people and protect their farms and things like that. So they're always on their toes looking for trouble. And they carry that over into their everyday life and into the dog show ring where they're on their toes. They're out looking around to see what's going on and say, all right, what can I do now? Watch me work. And with other breeds, they're more involved. They're more into their humans. That's not a negative on Terriers because they love their humans too. But when they're out there, it's all about them. And with Goldens and Labs in particular, we love them. And the reason that we love them is because they are so into their people. They always want to be with us. If they could talk, they would say, let's go, let's go, let's go. They said, me too, I want to be with you, let's go do something. And the Terriers are saying, I can do this without you, let's go, I can handle it. So I think they have a little built-in advantage in terms of their temperament and their personality. And as we talk about them and as we talk about what they were bred to do and talk about the things that they do, you can hear some of those reasons coming out.
Well, the guy who is like Terriers, always looking for trouble, David Fry, the National Dog Show presented by Purina, Thanksgiving Day. 12 noon, all time zones, including right here in Chicago, following the Macy Thanksgiving Day Parade. As always, Mr. Fry, so good to talk to you. Have a great show.
My pleasure to talk to you, Steve. Thank you. We're excited to be there for our 20th year.
So here's the problem at Thanksgiving. It needs to be safe for everyone, all family members, including those with four legs or feathers or scales even. But the problem really is dogs and cats that get into the trash. So that's one thing. I'll tell you, the emergency clinics on certain days of the year are just busier. And most of these problems can be and arguably should be avoided. So let me get back to the trash. The trash is there. You're cleaning the turkey. You're cooking all sorts of other things, and you're tossing this. You're tossing that. You're tossing. And then you walk away. And then the dog dumpster dives. Cats can do that. Sometimes they do. No matter, that can be prevented if you think about it. Think about where you're putting the trash so the dog can't get in there. The other thing to think about is, I know, Uncle Buddy and Aunt Sally are wonderful, and they love your pets, and they give a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. I mean, we forget that, say, a 10-pound dog. One slice of turkey for us, a good man-sized slice of turkey for us, for a 10-pound dog, that's like eating half a bird. Or a cat, it's like eating half a bird. Who would do? We can't do that. Not even me. That's a lot of turkey, right? Even for a 30-pound dog, a couple of slices of turkey is a lot. Not to mention what's on that turkey. So, or ham. So if we've got fat or the skin in the game, so to speak, the skin on it, then our pet can suffer from pancreatitis and inflammation of the pancreas. Hospitalization may be required, but some pets don't even survive pancreatitis. When if we didn't feed them that in the first place, or they didn't get into the trash, then there's no issue. Hopefully you know about turkey bones, how they can splinter, and they do often, on the way down to the through the esophagus and then through the GI system. And again, an emergency room visit required. And maybe the pet's life is at risk. And again, could have been avoided. For dessert, you're having brownies or something made with xylitol, an artificial sweetener. Well, as good as those desserts may be for us, and an artificial sweetener means no sugar. That's a good thing. Maybe there's a diabetic member of the family. Again, for our pets, that's incredibly dangerous. It's toxic. And again, a visit to the emergency room, which could have been avoided. So I want you to have a safe Thanksgiving. But when I say you, I mean all of you, all family members. We'll be back next week right here, bright and early, on WGN.